I love that little jingle. Yes, I love that little jingle. Well, welcome to East Lake Church, Mexico. Woo! My name is Cindy, and whether you're watching us online at this very moment, sitting there in your pajamas, sipping on your hot latte, or here in person, also sipping on some hot coffee, because we've got great coffee out there. Welcome. I'm super thrilled that you guys are here. We are wrapping up our series called The Good Life, where for the last 7 weeks, we've been kind of dissecting the words of Jesus found on the mount that he preached, the best sermon ever, the service and the preaching on the mount. Sermon on the Mount, also known as the Beatitudes. But today we're going to be focusing on verse 10 of chapter 5 in the book of Matthew. So take a look up on the screen. You can do the dinosaur outline in your programs or in the app. Feel free to check out this verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Do me a big favor. Circle the word persecuted and righteousness. I love to look up the words that I'm going to be using during the talk because I want to make sure that I know what I'm talking about, not when I'm talking and I don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, what? Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Well, I love to look up the definition of the words, and today I realized that the word persecution, as I looked up in the dictionary, means hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race, political, or religious beliefs. I also looked up the word hostility, unfriendliness, and opposition. Ill treatment means to be cruel or for someone to willfully cause you pain. The word righteousness means to be honest, to stand up for what's right, to be without blame, to be fair and have excellence in your moral character, to abide in a godly way of living. What Jesus is saying that because of our faith in him, we're basically going to experience some hardship, some opposition, some unfriendliness, and people who will willfully cause you pain. But I don't know if you noticed that when Jesus said those words, he started off with, blessed are those. I'm not going to read the entire Sermon on the Mount, however it is in your outline. But in summary, this is what Jesus is saying. Hey, if you're poor in spirit, if you mourn, if you are humble, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you're merciful and pure in heart, if you are a peacemaker, people aren't going to necessarily like you. Well, that's not the greatest news, right? I like people to like me. Well, here's a verse that I'm going to share with you up on the screen. And I'd like for all of us to, together with our outside voices, read it in conjunction on the count of three. Ready? Three. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Woo! So what does that mean? Not only are people going to be mean to you, they're going to be talking some smack about you. And that's one thing that's pretty painful at times. You know, about a year and a half ago, I received an email pretty much just attacking my faith in Jesus. And I read it and reread it, and the words were so painful that honestly, it caused me to tear up. And I kept reading it, and I was thinking, what in the world? You know how you get that feeling of, I just want to defend myself because people are saying stuff that's not true, and you just kind of feel like you want to rise up and just tell, hey, what's wrong with you? Has anybody else ever felt like that? Well, here's the thing. If you ever get an email, a text, or a voicemail, and somebody is downplaying or down-talking your faith in Jesus, just delete it. But here's what I tell you what, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. For 2 days, because I didn't respond right away, even though I felt like I wanted to, I just kind of soaked and bathed in the presence of God, and I was raising my hands in worship and just, Lord, help me process these painful words about me believing in you. And after a couple of long days, I responded to the email. You guys want to know what I said? God bless you. I didn't say that, bro. I was hoping somebody would say nothing, but if you know me, I'm not that type of person to not say anything. I did respond after 2 days, and I responded with one word: irrelevant. Irrelevant. Because in those 2 days that I soaked and bathed in God's presence and just was asking him, what's going on? I realized something. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with my faith in Jesus. And so I said, irrelevant. Now, Jesus didn't say, and I need to be clear about this, that it's a blessing anytime you're persecuted. It's not. He says it's a blessing when you're following him and you're persecuted. So I'm going to take just a quick moment to let you know the things Jesus did not say. And here's your first fill-in up on the screen in your outlines. If you're taking notes, fill in the blanks. Jesus did not say, blessed are those who are persecuted because they are different. You see, there's nothing wrong with being different. Absolutely nothing wrong being different. But it should never be a weapon against anyone because we're different. I grew up in a traditional hymnal church culture. All solemn and quiet. And oh boy, if you sat in that front row and you even like whispered, whoo, you got the pinch. You know what I mean? Sunday school. So it was, you know, the long robes, very, very traditional. But I was not saved until I was about 17 years old when I said yes to Jesus in a highly charismatic Pentecostal church. Amen, brother. Amen. Very different, right? Traditional to highly Pentecostal. So when I, at the prompting of my sister Desiree, was invited to the Eastlake Church campus in Chula Vista, I show up with my 50-pound leather Bible, my high heels, and I'm looking around and I'm like, well, this is a different church. And the first thing I noticed was there were no men wearing pinstripe suits. There were actually no men wearing suits, period. But what I really noticed, that there were no ladies wearing these. Yeah, you, my girlfriends know what I'm talking about. Oh, man. Trying to get into a pair of those today with some heat and size B probably ain't going to happen today. No, 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 no. But here's the thing. Different is okay. There are a lot of churches where men wear suits and women wear nylons. Nothing wrong with that. We're just different. Different expression of faith. Nothing wrong with being different. But we cannot say because we're different that we're being persecuted. Because that's something Jesus did not say. So, here's what I know. We need all kinds of different people to reach all kinds of different people. And that's okay. We're just different. The world needs a lot of different people to share Jesus with a lot of different people. Well, if they're believers in Jesus, you know what that makes us? In the same league. And I'm grateful for that. Another thing Jesus did not say, and here's your next fill-in, blessed are those who are persecuted because they are confrontational. Jesus did not say that. Let me tell you guys a quick story. When I met Pastor Fito, he was not a Christ follower. I was. We met at a club. We met at the bar. Yes. I was at the bar as a Christ follower, taking a little prodigal circle in my life. And I met Pastor Fito at the time. So guess what we did? A couple of months after we met, we started to play house. He moved in. And we do what most people do when they play house. He washes my car. I wash his clothes. He pays for the gas and the electric. I pay for the cell phones. Started doing this little thing called pretending to be married. And of course, you know what happens when you pretend to be married, right? You do all kinds of adult activities. Well, Pito decided on one of those Sunday trips to church to raise his hand and say yes to Jesus. Oh, but let me tell you, on the drive back home, he's looking over at me and he's like, what are we doing? I'm like, what? As soon as we get to the house, we're sleeping in separate rooms until we get married. And I'm like, what? Whoa. I mean, we've been playing house for over 2 years. Come on now. Two adults with some checkered pasts. I was already a grandma for crying out loud. And now he's trying to put me in a different room, and we're not going to have any adult activities pretending to be married, if y'all know what I mean. We don't do that. Fito's like, no, this is not God's best. So we went home, started sleeping in separate rooms, and we hardly held hands for a long time until we got married, because we wanted to honor God with our body, who is the owner. Jesus Christ is the owner of our bodies. And he said, I'm not your husband, and you're not my wife. So we're going to stop playing house, and we're going to do this God's way. If anybody asks, we're honoring God with our bodies until we get married. Trust me, people found out. And let me tell you what happened. We got laughed at. We got mocked. I mean, they're like, okay, you swear you're a virgin. And all the things that go with that. But I didn't want to fight. A godly spiritual principle was not going to do that, because I knew that that was the truth, and we were standing on the truth of God to honor him with our bodies. It's one of those things that even after I was in my late 30s, we decided to do. God honors that. People will talk about us. People will always talk about us when we're trying to stand on biblical truths. But here's the thing. I didn't want to defend. I didn't want to argue, because I know that for some of us, when we feel attacked or when we feel ridiculed, our first response is to confront them and be angry and be mean. And if that's you, that you feel like you need to take a stand and be like, hey, this is the way it is. I'm honoring God and I'm a Jesus follower. Don't expect for them to be nice. They're going to confront you with the same time, a mean way of thinking. That is not persecution for righteousness. When you're trying to confront people and be angry and be mean, that just means you have a lousy attitude. Here's another thing Jesus did not say, and this is your next fill-in. Blessed are those who are persecuted because they are political. Oh, we could sit on this one for a while. Especially in today's age, wouldn't you agree? For sure. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever your political viewpoint, no matter what it is, someone's not going to agree with it. Yes, mask, no mask. It doesn't matter. There's always a disagreement taking place when it comes to politics. I have my very own personal political viewpoint. You want to know what it is? Governments and politics are not the hope. Jesus is the hope. Jesus is the hope. Not government, not politics. But if you're politically involved and you're doing your thing, hey, more power to you. Just beware. If you put your flag down and you start with your political viewpoint, don't be surprised if someone doesn't agree or hates you for it. Jesus did not say that we're blessed when it comes to politics. He didn't. Our hope is not in politics or the government. It's in Jesus. That should always be our viewpoint as a Christ follower. So, if all of that stuff is stuff that Jesus did not say, what did he say? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Here we go. Next fill-in. Blessed are those who are persecuted because they are righteous. So Jesus is saying, if you live in the way that I'm calling you to live, people will come after you. That's real persecution. And the truth is that there are many Christians around the world who do suffer persecution. I mean, there's countries like Nigeria, North Korea, Pakistan, Somalia, where if you're a Christ follower, you are risking your life. This is a real and dangerous thing. As a matter of fact, last year, more than 3,000 Nigerians lost their lives as Christ followers due to the terrorist group Boko Haram. Now, for many of us, we're never going to experience that kind of persecution, at least not here, not now. However, we possibly could. But this is what persecution looks like for us. I'm going to give you some little ideas. For us, persecution can look like when you firmly, lovingly stand for the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. You could very well experience some persecution. Yes, some people who will deliberately, willfully harm you and speak against you. All kinds of lies. How about when you become a voice or an advocate for an unborn child because one parent or both parents find this baby to be an inconvenience? Maybe even your own mom or grandparent. Why are you going to have that baby? This time of your life? And I said lovingly stand. Okay. Lovingly stand. Or maybe persecution comes when you have decided you are no longer going to cheat on your taxes. And your tax preparer is like, come on, we got a bunch of write-offs. Let's just throw them in there. You'll get you more money. Stop cheating. Stop cheating. Stop nickel and diming. Everywhere you go, you're just looking for opportunity to rip people off, including the government. Come on now. Or how about cheating on your spouse? No seas mandilón. You ever heard anybody say something like that? Maybe you said it. Or, I know, girlfriend, you're having some problems with your man. Let's just go out for a drink, listen to some live music. Come on, mija, let's go. Don't cheat on your spouse. How about praying in public? This has happened to me. You're sitting at the table having a nice meal and you say, amen, thank you for the food, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. And someone walks by and goes, pfft. Like, wow. How about going to church on Sunday, even when your visitors show up? Somebody might be talking some smack because you decided this is what we do Sunday morning. We don't take any breaks. We just go, come on, come join us. Let's go. You don't take any breaks. We just go to the house of God. We worship. We're in community. We're going to go hear God's word. Like, you don't just do this skip out thing. You actually go to church on the Sabbath, no matter who's showing up at your front door. You just do this. How about reading your Bible at your desk in your office? Anybody ever got one of those looks like, what are you doing? Okay. Or, you're at school and you're out on the bench and you're just doing your devotional and maybe you got a tear rolling because you're experiencing God's love and somebody walks by and is like, that's so outdated. That book is old. God? Who's God? That's what persecution might look like for you. Or persecution might come by reporting sexual harassment to your supervisor. As Pastor Fito says, right? Things that make you go, I'd like to tell you a little bit about a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Christian pastor and a theologian in Germany who spoke against the Nazis and, of course, Adolf Hitler in the 30s and 40s. And it actually imprisoned him, and he ended up in Tegel prison in 1943. He wrote a book, but yet he wrote lots of letters, which are in the book, to his parents about all the persecution that he was going through. And he was praying and asking as he was waiting and waiting and waiting for God to deliver him from this persecution with all those frustrating feelings. When will this end? Because the question is, Lord, how long? Sometimes when we're going through stuff, we are praying that prayer. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, how much more of this? I can't take it. How much more of this? I can't handle it. Lord, help me. Well, he prayed the same prayer. He intervened. And I think that the reason Jesus talks about persecution is because for a Christ follower, it's inevitable. I know sometimes we want to run from it, but you know what? It eventually catches up to us. Maybe not like the Nigerians who lost their lives, but definitely, definitely in a way that if you are consistent with the way Jesus has called you to live, you will experience some persecution. People are going to react negatively to it. You lead with kindness and stop gossiping, if you love people and forgive your enemies, if you refuse to cheat and you stay humble, you will experience people saying terrible things about you and to you. Now, I can't speak for you, but when I accepted Jesus in my life, man, I was like, this is the best. My life is going to be so easy after this. Boy, was I wrong. Wonderful and amazing? Yes. Easy? No. Most definitely not. But here's what I have experienced since I became a Christ follower. Love, a lot of forgiveness, a meaningful life, some joy, and a life full of purpose. Very few people can say they're actually doing what God has called them to do, and I can say that as I stand up on this stage. I am exactly where God wants me to be, all because of Him. But easier? Absolutely not. And here's why. Because when you're walking with Jesus, guess what? Sometimes you end up walking with a limp. There's some painful situations. You're suffering. You're going through some stuff. And one mistake I believe that we do nowadays is that we tell people, hey, when you come to Jesus, it's going to be so easy moving forward. Your life is going to be awesome. And awesome it is. But again, not easier. We do have a good life. Have you guys ever heard anyone say, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I want my husband to be happy. I want my wife to be happy. I want my kids to be happy. Have you guys ever heard anyone say that? Or maybe you've said it, huh? Like, I just want to be happy. But this is not the happy gospel. This is not about happy and comfort. I'm going to tell you what it is about. Because the goal is not comfort. The goal is the kingdom. The goal is the kingdom. And that's our bottom line. Here's your last fill-in. The good life does not assure you of comfort. The good life assures you of a kingdom. Today I want you to think and consider, leading up to Jesus' death, the things that were taking place. He had his disciples next to him. There were devout people who loved Jesus, who were there with Jesus. But there was also an angry mob who hated him, who slandered him, who spoke lies against him, who slapped him, who yanked his hair and pulled his beard and spit on him. But Jesus carried on with his mission. He still loved people. He healed people. And he shares the good news. And the good news is that our life can be in the kingdom of the heavenlies. That's the good life. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. The book of Isaiah is filled with prophecies. And those prophecies are about the coming Messiah. And those prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus. Even in prophecy, Scripture didn't say that Jesus would be popular, much less comfortable. I'm going to read Isaiah 53:3. It's in your outline, up on the screen and in your app. Jesus, he was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You see, Jesus didn't live a life of comfort, and neither will we. He lived a life that was always pointing to the kingdom of heaven. Always pointing to the kingdom of heaven. Where he knows that our mourning will be turned into dancing. Where our sorrow will be turned into joy. Where death has no place, but eternal life is ours. Jesus always, always, always pointed to the kingdom of heaven. Early in the talk, I was mentioning the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, how he was imprisoned in 1943. He waited patiently and he trusted in God throughout his whole time there as he was being persecuted for his faith and for speaking up boldly, standing up and lovingly speaking against the things that were not godly. And he was persecuted because of that. And I want to encourage you that as you stand lovingly and you become an advocate and a voice and you step into God's best, step into the truth, that you would also be encouraged by the power and the Spirit of God. He prayed for deliverance. He prayed for his safety as he wrote those letters to his parents. But you want to know what he actually prayed more for? He prayed to be more like Jesus. That was his ultimate prayer. I want that prayer. Come what may, I want that prayer. And that's a scary prayer for some of us, right? Come what may. May I be drawn closer to you because of persecution. Stand on God's truth. Don't be swayed. Do it in a loving way, but don't back down. Do not let the enemy continue to bully you with the lies that are against God's best, his truth, and his principles. Stop. Analyze your heart. See what's going on inside. Why have you totally embraced the lie? Stand firm with love. Speak truth. And don't worry about what's going to come after that. Because this is what Jesus says. You are blessed because of persecution when it's for me. We are blessed when we are spoken against, lied on. If you're walking with Jesus and you know what you're doing is the right thing, stand there. Stand there. Stand on his truth. Stand on his principles. Do not be swayed by the enemy's lies of the culture of today. Dietrich Bonhoeffer closes his book with this. May God in his mercy lead us through these times, but above all else, may he lead us to himself. Let's pray. Lord, as we are here, and we might be experiencing persecution in a way that's unique to us. Maybe we've been outspoken about some truths that are found in your word. Maybe we've stood our ground, Lord, and have not allowed the enemy to sway us, to pervert us, to speak things that are not truthful. We are not cheating anymore, not on our spouse, not on our taxes. We are not ashamed to read your word in public. We are not embarrassed to raise our hands and worship you wherever we may be. Even if we're scoffed, even if we're laughed at, even if it goes against what everybody else believes to be true, Lord, would you give us the courage to stand our ground today? Because you call us blessed when we are persecuted for your name's sake. For the kingdom of heaven is ours. And today, Lord, we just want to be reminded that you fight our battles, for you are a great, great God. And where there is darkness, bring your light, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.